This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Reese. You are listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Have fun.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 520 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, we're going to finish up a series we started back in 2023, the music behind the attractions in the parks. And this week, we're going to be hitting Animal Kingdom. To help me do that, I've got two of my co-hosts. First, we've got Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
How's it going? I'm ready. I got the drums. I'm ready. Let's, you know, play some music.
You're set for Animal Kingdom. Here we go. I also have Melissa with us. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hakuna Matata. Oh, wait, Morgan, that's your sign-off. I guess we're just starting this.
Hey. Hakuna Matata is good anytime.
Exactly. And it puts you into the right attitude for this. And Melissa's been with us for the entire journey of this music, so that's very great. Thanks for coming along with us, Melissa.
Oh, thanks, Ed, for hosting us. It's been fun.
So now, that kind of brings us up to kind of a little wall, though, because when we were doing a little research for the Animal Kingdom show, we were finding out that this might not be a long show.
Yeah, it was so challenging coming up with music and or even sounds. And then I thought, there has to be. Like, why wouldn't there be? And I was finding it pretty easy to find restaurant music. And like, you think of It's Tough to Be a Bug, you think of kind of walking through some of the continents and really hearing those sounds so you knew which continent you're in. But a lot of the attractions, I think they're really intended to hear while you're there, which is animals or interacting with, you know, cast or being educated about what the attraction is about.
Yeah.
Sure. Basically just nature, which you get a lot of opportunities to listen to around Animal Kingdom. Even just walking between the different lands and the different areas, you tend to have maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 minute walks of basically nothing other than just the walkway and the sounds you pick up. Now, granted, with Avatar, Pandora, you do walk into it where you do hear the sound effects. So the background sounds are the bugs, the sounds of the woods, the sounds of the wilderness. However, once we get into Pandora, obviously they're fake. But they are there.
They're fake.
Well, and they change. And they change over time, right? In the morning time, they sound different than in the evening. And so as much as, you know, we start this off and say, there's not a lot of music, there is music in the sense that sound can be music. And
the music Imagineers,
the Imagineers put a lot of thought into this. And it could be something that's played on a traditional instrument. It could be something that is made by the guests, whether it's drums or bells, or it could be, you know, the sounds of true nature, birds, bugs, animals, right, that sort of thing.
Sure. Oh, definitely. And kind of because of that, what we're going to do is bounce around Animal Kingdom today. With the other parks, we kind of went land by land and we were able to talk about the different attractions with good soundtracks behind them are. So where do you guys want to start?
I think you have to start with Pandora, like you said. That has the most interesting soundscape of any of the areas we've talked to today. We talked about the other parks, that it's not necessarily traditional. It's very, almost more movie sound effect.
And I feel like that's the only one that, like, I mean, obviously you realize, oh, that's piped in sounds, quote unquote, as opposed to the real birds and the real animals you hear in Africa and Asia and the other parts of Animal Kingdom. So when you think audio besides what's in a ride, I feel like you automatically go towards Pandora It's kind of like how when you go into Galaxy's Edge, you think of that noise, that sound. It's the same principle with Pandora.
Oh, no doubt. You've got the general background noises as they're going around, the bugs of the different planet, the different sounds like that. And then every so often you have that big noise. That just is kind of different from where you are, whether it's an attraction, whether it's some beast in the distance or something like that. It's always available to you. So now also in Pandora, we have two attractions, and the two attractions both have their kind of, I guess, plug for soundtracks, but both in different places, obviously. Two different, totally different rides. One is a go to sleep, ride a boat type ride. The other one is fly, you know, from the highest mountaintop all the way down to the ocean on your
Banshee.
Banshee, exactly. I want to start with the river ride because I tell you what, that is a fun attraction. Although, like I said, it is a little slow. But what's fun about it is all the background noises, because as we talked about nature for the first half of it, that's what you get, is you get a lot of Pandora background nature noises. You've got the pack of whatever type of wolves going through the trees over there, and you've got the bugs and different animals here. Above you, you got the little things on top of the lily pads bouncing around. Yep. But then when you get to the priestess, everything changes.
Yeah.
And then that just takes a total musical change that definitely sticks with you after you get off that ride.
And what's kind of cool with that ride is the song that the priestess is playing, because she's at the end, it naturally gets louder. So it's kind of, you know, there's something ahead of you because you keep hearing the music and it keeps getting louder. So that's a cool example of the music trying to draw you in.
Very much so. And also, it kind of goes with you, actually, as you leave there and back into Pandora.
Well, I usually have it playing in my head, so that's how.
And that's kind of when it ties back into the whole Pandora noises. It's kind of almost like seamless when you're getting out of there, too. So it's kind of cool in that regard.
Interesting fact about that song. It's called the Shaman of Songs. Sandra Benton actually performs it, but James Horner composed it. So we kind of had a laugh back at Hollywood Studios that John Williams composed many of the soundtracks that we heard. And right. If you go through Animal Kingdom, James Horner and Hans Zimmer are kind of repeat composers that you get at that park. So it's kind of funny that you...
Yeah. Oh, very composers. Cool.
Yeah. So complete kind of side tangent. Anybody in your area, look up Candlelight... symphonies. There's this thing, yes, by Fiverr, I think, or at least that's,
yep,
and they're doing a Hans Zimmer one over where I am, so I'm sure they rotate and they're going to be cities all over the place. But I think I might go check it out, because I mean, how cool would that be to be in like a small room, you've got this great orchestra playing and they're playing Hans Zimmer, so you're hearing pirates and you're hearing all this music we know and love. So
they're fantastic. I went to their holiday performance by me, and you're right. They do anything from music of Hans Zimmer to the music of Journey to Miley Cyrus to Christmas. You name it, yeah, they do a compilation, and they're a lot of fun. And Hans Zimmer would be a great one.
Yeah, totally.
No, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it popped up on my Facebook ads like a couple days ago. So it's kind of cool that we're now talking about music again, and you know, Hans Zimmer pops up. It's like, oh yeah, I gotta check out those tickets. So everybody, check out those tickets.
Excellent. Okay, so Pandora, we're still there. and Flight of Passage. Now, when I first thought of Flight of Passage, I really wasn't getting a lot of music thinking back to it. But then as soon as I got on the ride in my memory, yeah, that's where the music hits you in this attraction. You're going through the whole, the bass and things like that, and the cue, so you're hearing wilderness noises and such like that. But when you're in a bass, it's all industrial. But as soon as you get on your Banshee, as soon as those stars start blinking in your eyes and you wake up, then the music kind of goes right behind everything that's happening to you. And the soundtrack of that music really mirrors everything that's going on in front of you.
Yeah, it's an epic soundtrack. I mean, I think it's like, it is a movie, but you couldn't ride that without that just big, whooshing, like, climatic music. It's wonderful.
Even at that point, you get to the that one cavern where you're kind of resting and healing after getting attached by the big Banshee, and it's really nice in there because everything slows down and the music kind of pulls right back, and you're actually kind of breathing and you're catching your breath getting ready for that next like jump off and flight for the end. And then the final crescendo at the end, as everything is kind of jumping up in the air in front of you, all the beasts, all the sea creatures, and then the stars kind of flipping in your face. And it's the music transition that really takes you out of that. And it kind of makes it a little bit easier, but it definitely makes it more powerful.
I was going to say that I feel like, because we know James Cameron had his hand in obviously helping create the land, since these were his babies, his movies.
Sure.
I feel like for some reason, because I feel like I've just seen a lot of James Cameron stuff, he would not have let this ride go and be live without music. Because I feel like everything I've heard from this ride, because I said, one day I'll be able to fit on the ride. One day. Okay. Anyway.
One day they'll be accessible. Yes. And they will be inclusive.
Yes.
This is not a you, Mark. This is Disney being accessible.
And you would think this would be kind of an easier fix than not. It's not like the vehicle is flying or moving anywhere. That's not a safety issue.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. However, real quick side note, and I threw this video at you guys in our message board. We share like a message thread on Facebook to talk to all our co-hosts. And I finally found a video of somebody took in Flight of Passage where they turned around and looked at the area where you put your bags, your hats, and things like that. When you get on it, Morgan, you walk inside, and on one side of the vehicle is you get on top of. And on the other side is a wall that has just basically a shelf kind of inside the wall that you put your stuff into it.
Yeah, I've been in that room and been on the vehicle.
And, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then you had to take your stuff out of it and leave that room. I get it. However, when the ride starts, behind you is a crazy situation where the wall is moving in like four or five different sections and parts. And it's almost worth a glance back at least once to see that mayhem going on behind you, to let everything, I guess, in front of you move. You don't even feel like everything's moving in front of you when you're looking, other than flying around, and you figure that's VR. But when you look behind you, there's a lot of physical stuff going on in this ride.
Yeah, we might have to share that video on our social media, or maybe in the comments when we post this on our YouTube so people can watch that video.
I definitely will. I'll put it in the post notes. Okay, so what do you guys think? Any other comments as far as Pandora goes? I think there's some good music kind of going on in the restaurant where it's kind of playing in the background. Same with, but I can't remember for sure on that.
And, you know, every time I've been in a Santulli canteen, it's been so loud with just the people talking and just the natural things of being in an enclosed space like that. I can't even hear the music. So I couldn't even tell you if there was music. I tried to think about that. I was like, I don't know.
Right. And that actually is one of those caveats to the whole idea of listening to music in Disney parks, is that one day you could be walking through it with 1,000 people and not hear a thing. Then the next time you might be going through there, you might be lucky enough to find a great time and there's nobody around. And all of a sudden, it's like an orchestra playing around you. You just don't realize it.
I think the best place to enjoy Pandora's soundscape is actually over at Nomad's Lounge. So just across that bridge. So you're overlooking the river, overlooking kind of the green space of Pandora. And Nomad's Lounge has their own fantastic playlist. You can find their playlist actually all over YouTube. That was an easy one to find for whatever reason, and super fun. But if you sit on the patio outside overlooking, not only do you get this great music, but it sort of seamlessly blends into all these nature sounds that are going on across the river in Pandora. And if you can get a table right, you know, before sunset, you know, maybe you're going to sit there for like an hour, you can hear that soundscape change from the daytime sounds to more that twilight sound. And it's super fun. Great food, great drinks, great atmosphere.
It is a good place.
So that's my favorite place to go. And yeah, listen to the soundtrack at both.
And that's the outside seating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a kind of big area outside there where they have a lot of nice little furniture. It's a great place to relax during the daytime even, because it just seems cooler under there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely I've had Nomad's Lounge on my list for like, I think ever since it's opened. I need to just check that off my list. So one of these days, I'm just going to ditch everybody and be like, hey, I'm going to Animal Kingdom.
We experienced it the first time because we had our little one, and he was, I don't know, maybe 6 months old at the time, 9 months old at the time, and needed a break to get out of the stroller and move around. And because they have those big sectionals, we kind of corralled them into like almost a futon and just let him crawl around and play and roll and do whatever. And we just enjoyed food and drinks and had a great time. Nice. And it was a nice break to get out of the sun and just kind of let him move around. So a nice parenting place too.
Parent tip.
Very cool. Okay, guys, where do you want to go next in Animal Kingdom to listen to some great music?
I feel like just, you know, walking over to, was it Asia is the one that we naturally walk next to?
I don't know. I normally go to Africa after Pandora, but we all have our ways.
I feel like I got to pull. It's one, you know, one good thing about Animal Kingdom, just the layout in general, with all of the trees, which of course leads to all the sounds with, because you've got the birds and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I go the same way twice. Like, not back to back, at least.
It's depending what you have on your schedule for the day, usually. I think the only thing I ever have always the same thing, no matter what, is my rope drop. But after that, it's, you know, based on how the day goes and what I see on the phone and what the, you know, lines are.
And see, for me, but, Animal Kingdom is my wander park. Just going to wander around.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. There's plenty of opportunities for that. Let's go to Asia.
Okay.
So that's a great idea. Where do you want to go over there?
The first thing I thought of, and like I said, I started going to the restaurant, so my head went to Yak and Yeti. And the sound, because, again, depending on how crowded Yak and Yeti is, there is music. It's just obviously very faint, and it's just a very nice, chill, obviously goes with the theme of like the Asian vibe of it. I couldn't even like tell you the name of it because it just how Disney does. It's a thing of its own.
It's going to have kind of traces all different types of music from the Asian continent.
Yeah.
Kind of fitting it, the Yak and Yeti. Everest over in Asia is the next big thing I can come up with as far as something that might have music on it. And the thing is, I don't remember it being music on the attraction or on the line, really.
There actually is no music in the attraction, and that was intentional by Joe Rohde. Yeah. All around Asia, all leading up to Expedition Everest, is a lot of music. Music kind of pulling in from influences from China, Nepal, India that you can get. There's a nice Spotify playlist that has a couple of the artists that contribute to that soundtrack. But once you enter the queue, the rumor, I don't know if how true it is, but that Joe Rohde didn't want queue music. He wanted it to be like he experienced the Himalayas when he was there. And so that it would just be the bells that are placed throughout the queue for those who are going on the expedition to ring and send up your prayer of safe passage. And so you should just be hearing these bells constantly, ding, 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 ding. And then you get on the attraction. And when I first read it, I was like, are you sure? Like, did they change that? Because I had this memory that it was like Skipper. Like
Jungle Cruise?
Yeah, like Jungle Cruise, where there was radios. Yeah. And people talking on a radio.
Yeah, no,
but I went back and listened. I went and found like you, because I'm not in the park right now. And I was like, there's got to be something. And I went and listened to a couple of people going through the queue, and there is nothing that you can audibly hear until you are climbing up the mountain. And all you know, mm-hmm. it's really strong, click, 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 click. But there's this kind of monastery, temple-y kind of music going on just before then you take the plunge. So that's just kind of a cool thing that Joe Rohde did, which I think that's the theme that we've talked about this whole park. It's very intentional when there is and isn't sound. Not surprising, that's how all the parks are, but right. in a very different way than the other three parks present themselves.
Sure, it's the natural music. And we did notice, Hope and I were on the line. It's the first time we went on the standby line for Everest in a while. And we noticed there were a ton of bells. And it was kind of the type of thing where people were kind of, no one was ringing them because you didn't think you're supposed to be ringing bells and annoying people type of thing, right? You're not supposed to touch anything anywhere. So that's great to know. That's really fun to know.
I'm totally ringing the bells next time I go on.
Big time. Yeah,
you're supposed to ring every single bell.
Right. Make sure you know the people in front of you and behind you know that too, so that we all start ringing the bells.
I'll be like, oh, you want to ring? Okay, then just go past me. I'm going to keep ringing them all until I get every single bell rung. And then I'll.
Maybe that means the Yeti will work if we all ring it.
Maybe it's like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in the queue that, you know, if they get all the gem things like turned at the same time, you get this special thing. If all the bells get rung in a specific order on a specific time, when the moon isn't... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but you know what? No, that doesn't help us because we're outside ringing all those bells and whoever's on Everest right now is going to see the Yeti moving. So
as long as somebody sees it, come on. I mean, at this point, I'll take what I can get.
Right. Okay, so let's move on. And I tell you what, from Everest, there is no other place we normally go unless it's already been running, is up to the Nemo play. What's the name of that now?
Big Blue Beyond. Now I gotta Google it. I want to say Big Blue Beyond or.
That sounds good. Yeah. That sounds like kind of close.
If that's not the name, that should be the name.
The Big Blue and Beyond, maybe?
Let's see. The Big Blue and Beyond, yes.
Awesome. Very cool. So this is the attraction they have right on top. I forget the theater name, but between Asia and Dino Land. It's a really awesome show. It's been going on for a long time now. It's great to say that because I actually remember when it started playing. And this was what gave Nemo lyrics. Because if you think about it, and if you're Disney fans, you've been to the park a number of times and you've seen this play, it's hard for you to think back on Finding Nemo and realizing there is no songs in that movie at all. And
until
this
the
is
end at the credits.
Well, right. Right. But this is what gave the words to everything. And it was kind of that tie in with Epcot, because we had over there at the seas, we had the Finding Nemo attraction over there too. And they kind of tied in musical twists and things like that, which was really awesome. And but yeah, Finding Nemo, really, really fun show. What do you guys think?
I like it. According to Disney's website, it's officially in Dinoland. So I thought that was interesting, because I, like you, think it's kind of in between lands. Right. I miss... I don't like...
Well...
Yeah.
I mean, it does make sense geographically that the Pacific Ocean would separate Asia from Dino USA.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You got your Imagineer hat on.
For that USA. Well, very good. Yeah, definitely. For those that don't know, this is a play about Finding Nemo. So it's the story from beginning to end in a nutshell, with really, really good musical songs. The thing is, the play itself is awesome. Excuse me. We have actors. However, the actors all have puppets. So the puppets are activated by their hands. And if you've seen any of these other Disney plays that do this, you have an idea what's going on. The Lion King on Broadway being the biggest one, I guess.
Yep.
Where they did a lot of that. To me, the music is incredible in this. However, at the end when they do the curtain call, I really love it and appreciate it when they come up on stage and the actors all drop their puppets and then they do their bow by themselves, because they do get all the credit. But you never really think about it because you're seeing all the puppets and you're paying attention to that.
Oh, hello there. I'm looking for my son. He looks just like me. Hello. I'm looking for my son. He's a little
flat fish.
Excuse me. Hello, I'm trying to find my
thief.
Stop. No, not you, Dory. I was talking to the
ladies. It's getting bothering you.
Oh, I don't remember. Were you?
No. Did you guys get the teacher
before
you?
Look out. We're looking to the lady.
Fine.
Easy on the fellas. He lost his son, Fabio.
Nemo.
And you know the teacher reported you Wallaby Way, Sydney?
Sydney!
What you want to do is follow the EAC. That's the East Coast Rally. Carry it.
Swimming.
Good carry, King Kitty. See that direction. Just keep swimming.
Swimming.
Young lady will find you right there.
If for whatever reason you have not seen the show yet, you've got to go see the show. Everybody, I feel like, and we'll talk about Lion King, because I feel like we cannot not talk about the Lion King show.
Oh, sure. We'll be there soon.
But everybody loves that show. I feel like the Finding Nemo show does not get as much love as it should. So anybody listening, if you've not seen the show, go see it. You'll love it.
Right. And even so fresh on you saying that, I got to say, it was my favorite. The changes made The Lion King my favorite again. I mean, it was so easy between the two of them because they were so good. Both of them are. But yeah, I'm leaning toward Lion King again. I'm really having a fun time over there.
See, and I lean towards, if I'm going to watch one of them, Nemo, because there's something unique and different about the Nemo show than it is than the movie. Whereas Lion King, I don't know. Maybe it's like a first world complaint, but I've seen The Lion King on Broadway multiple times. I feel like it's so available to go see that I just really wish they would repurpose that space to something that I can't see. But I understand that I'm being a little bit of a first world complainer, because yeah, I have the opportunity to see a Broadway show, you know, that travels around. And so if you're going to the parks and this is your opportunity to see it and be introduced to Disney Broadway, which there are so many shows on Broadway now, then it's a good thing. But that's the only reason I would lean towards Nemo, is you can't see this show anywhere else.
But I would like to put a disclaimer, though. The Tumble Monkeys do not travel with the Broadway show with The Lion King. So if you want to see the Tumble Monkeys, it's the Animal Kingdom. By all means, go see the Broadway show, but don't expect Tumble Monkeys.
Yeah, and you do have the tie-in with Timon and Pumbaa, which is kind of cool, and you don't have that in the Broadway show either. So it is kind of a little extra, I guess, friendliness with them,
yep.
A little chance to experience that. And I haven't gotten tired of The Lion King as much yet. However, yeah, I don't know. I think because coming back from the pandemic, it made it fresh and new again. Was maybe that's where it was, and Nemo kind of went the other way. However, again, both are great, and I guess we're talking about Lion King now too.
Yeah.
Which is over in Africa.
We just ran over to Africa real quick.
And it is a great play. I mean, these two are the best two shows on property, basically kind of hands down. I don't see anything off Broadway any better than these. And the actors are very, you know, well versed in their roles, I guess you got to say. The Lion King is good because it has its segments and it's all basically live actors doing this. And I think what's as great is the backup actors as much as the main four that are doing the singing on the stage.
You can't go wrong with music by Hans Zimmer, so it's automatically going to be a fantastic, and it's a great show no matter what. Yeah, for sure. And for the African kind of continent, I love the music in the area, in the pavilions, kind of in the street market, even the sounds that guests make with the drums. You think of all the kids playing on the drums.
Yep, right.
And then even going through the safari, all this, the sounds and music and radio chatter that you hear through the safari is fantastic. So it's a really, really great land.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I was going to say that when I was thinking about when we were like in Africa, I was like, not only did I think about Lion King, but I thought about those performances in the square. I feel like those...
Mm-hmm. That's where I was going to go.
I know we have video of... a gentleman who, and I forgot the name of the instrument, but he has performed in Asia. That I want sitar, I feel like is not right, but I know Charlotte got the video for us and we've posted it before. But
yeah, he plays him with a string instrument that is incredible. It sounds like 10 different instruments.
I've never seen him. I've just never caught him at the right time. Whereas like the performers in Africa, I've caught on several occasions. So I feel like that they're more fresh in my mind than the ones in Asia. So when I think music outside of attractions, I immediately thought about the performers in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I feel like there's always performers over there in that market.
Yeah. And they're so fun. Like they try to get the kids involved and the audience, like it's an interactive almost performance because they want you to enjoy, you know, the music, and it's a fun show.
Mm-hmm. It feels like a lot, like a real market, real village. You've got people who are there. They're, you know, selling things, whether it's food or the shops. You've got the performers, and the performers are all different. There's some like kind of musical troupe. There's some sort of
acrobatic.
Making this up, like the acrobatic kind of piece. Yep. But because they pull you in, so just it feels like a live, fresh, real market versus like a pretend, oh, I'm walking through this. Kind of like how you feel sometimes in Epcot, like, oh, I'm walking through this, but it's not really alive and living.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And for those that don't realize what we're talking about, this is as you walk into Africa, you're coming to the cross section where if you go left, you're going to the Lion King and back to Pandora. If you go right, you're going to Asia. And if you go straight, you're going to the safari ride. And as you're going to the safari ride, you'll see a big stage right there. The restrooms are to the right and the bar is to the left. And there is usually somebody always performing. I've seen, again, the acrobats pretty regularly. A group of ladies that sing that are incredible. Four or five ladies that sing together and do different types of songs. And another group of guys that sing and play instruments. And again, they're always getting people involved. They're always getting people to learn how to dance or sing or help them do whatever they're doing. It's really, really fun.
I think that's called the Mombasa Marketplace. And then up through to the Harambe Fruit Market are sort of those little areas that they are. It's on the other, if you were to cross the buildings, then you're in Harambe Market.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you think about it, if you're walking straight to the safari, most people know, okay, you got the bathrooms over to one side. Well, the performers usually, if they're performing in the square, are just before the bathrooms.
Well, yeah, and that's actually where they are. You're always going around them to get to those restrooms. Before we get out of Africa, I want to throw one more thing out there, and it kind of ties totally into the whole idea behind nature and the music of nature and such like that. They used to have, and I'm hoping it comes back, but over at the Rafiki Planet Watch, they used to have a type of an attraction or exhibit where you basically went into a very dark room, put on a headset, and you closed the door, the lights went out, and you basically listened to the jungle at night.
Ooh.
So you heard the rainstorm approaching, and you heard a jaguar out there in the distance roaring. And it was incredible. And pandemic closed the town. And I haven't seen it come back. And I'm not even sure if that section of the of Rafiki's Planet Watch is still there. I have to check out next time I go. But that was a perfect example of the music of nature, because there was nothing else in the room other than what you were hearing. And it was perfect.
Yeah, now I got to go see if I can see if that's there. I didn't even know that existed.
I wonder if YouTube might even have a recording of that. So I have to look back on it. That was definitely something fun with the kids. And even when I went back by myself one time, I did that. It was really great.
I never knew that there was a sitar player over in Asia. So now I'm going to go check that out.
And honestly, I didn't know it was there until Charlotte did a video for us. That was the first time I was like, oh, wait, is he new? Like, what's going on here? But
there is a stage by A Bug's Life across from like Flame Tree and Bug's Life, as you're on that side of the Discovery Island, that I've seen a harp player before. I've seen a band before with a girl dancing, that she had maybe 50 people dancing out in front of that stage. There's just entertainment all over Animal Kingdom. And I think probably about 6-7 years ago, they ramped that up big time, and it's kind of still existing.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Once we came back from the pandemic, I think we're back again, and I think it's great. I want to see the tree projections again. I haven't seen, I don't know if they're coming back or if they have been back someday. But other than that, a lot of the entertainment has come back, and it's been a lot of the nighttime entertainers and walking around musicians. So definitely fun stuff in Animal Kingdom in that regard.
Well, and that makes sense, because that whole area of Animal Kingdom around the Tree of Life, Flame Tree is another one. Big, long soundtrack with like didgeridoos in it. The Oasis, kind of where you're entering that area. Tough to Be a Bug. Lots of music. That's probably, if I were to think of Animal Kingdom music, that's the first kind of place I thought of. I know that soundtrack. I know where that came from, or right. I know where I am.
Yeah.
And super fun music. Kevin Rafferty producing from Tough to Be a Bug, or It's a Bug's Life.
Sure.
No.
It's tough, no, tough to be a bug.
Yeah. And that they, you know, make the parodies of the different movies like Beauty and the Beast or stuff.
Yeah.
It's just that's the more traditional Disney area if you were to compare it to the other parks.
Right. Oh, I agree. And it's just, I think it's a matter of discovery for this one, because you and the kids basically are listening, waiting in line in the tree itself underneath, and you're hearing this like buzzing going on, and the buzzing's in a rhythm, and it's like zzz, 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 and it ends up being, like you said, Beauty and the Beast or one of the Disney songs that we know very well played by bugs. Very, very nice to listen to that type of stuff. And then once you get in the ride itself, we've got a lot of background music, But then we've got the main Bug song, right? Dun, 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 dun.
Yep.
And I'm sure I'd play that music right now.
Did I forget to mention reptiles? Well, they just don't seem to care that it's tough to be a bug. But you guys should, because we make your world one honey of a place. We're pollinators! We're pollinators!
If you like vegetables,
flowers,
we taste you with bugs, so
our love is power! If it weren't for the fact that we like the taste, you'd be out there wallowing in shoulder high waist. Well, it still has a few bugs in it, but that's our show. And now that you're all honorary bugs, remember, magnifying glasses are for looking at little things, not for burning little things. See ya.
Hey.
Hey, little fella. Where should you be?
There.
That's right. Good bug. Good little bug.
Your attention, please. We ask that all honorary bugs remain seated so the beetles, maggots, and cockroaches may exit safely. At this time, gather up your personal belongings and take your small bugs by their grubby little hands.
But yeah, so it's very, very fun. The final chord of music I remember the most from a bug, It's Tough to Be a Bug, are the screams of the kids when the spiders fall and the hornets start stinging you from underneath. So that's musical. That's crazy how like that just adds to the attraction.
I love taking like somebody who's never been in there in.
Right.
I remember I have a fond memory of taking my cousin's kids when they were younger, and I started scooting up in my chair because I don't like the feeling when they sting me. It just, you know, and they're kind of like, what's coming? And they saw the nozzles in the front, so they knew something was going to spray them. But man, the squeals of the kids, especially when it's the kids you know, is like the greatest thing ever.
I think my sister's still scarred 20 years later. But, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Very, very easy. Okay, where else can we go now in Animal Kingdom to hear some music?
I could not tell you if there's music in Dinoland USA. I'm assuming there's some sort of carnival music. Okay.
There definitely is carnival music in Dinoland USA. But what they have the most is a radio station playing throughout the land. And I forget the call letters, but it's definitely something like WBONE, and we're here to bring you the music. And it's a pop station with DJs like that. And you'll hear announcements. You'll hear it's back to the Jungle Cruise. It's like the radio station on the Jungle Cruise line, where you're hearing the different messages and the different ideas and the boat names. And then they go into a music number, and then they come back with messages for the captains and such like that. It's very similar to that. And I remember listening to it right outside the playground, the Boneyard playground. But then as you go through the entire Dino Land, it's piped through the entire area. Very, very fun. Very cool.
And if I'm not mistaken, I feel like we've learned that fact in a scavenger hunt that you did.
I think this is a scavenger hunt question.
I'm like, this is a scavenger hunt question.
I forgot because it seems like I rediscovered that this summer, but that's cool. I love that shit. That's great.
So apparently it's a pirated radio station taken over by two interns calling themselves Digger and Bonehead, and they play dino-themed music.
Nice.
Yes, totally. Right on. Because, yes, what's the... I just thought there was a song in the 80s or 90s. It was something about the dinosaurs.
Now, one interesting thing, though, is now that Primeval World is gone and there's all this talk of the carnival-esque theme maybe going away, what are they going to do for music? Because the radio station wouldn't make sense.
Well, when they bring Encanto in, it'll be something that'll be backgrounding Encanto.
If it's Encanto, remember, it's all if. Blue Sky, Thought Process Productions, whatever they want to call it from D23 Expo, it's just ifs.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. So I tell you what, I'm going to do it before we finish up. Morgan, tell us what's going on the blog, but do we have anything else before that?
I've just that it seems like Digger and Bonehead were retired during Donald's bash, that doesn't exist anymore.
Aww.
Well, it's still playing. They might. I guess it's just not live. They're piping it in. I have no idea how they wouldn't be live, but they're still playing it.
No. That it's retired. Like, it's not there anymore.
They don't play it at all.
They don't play it at all.
Play what?
The radio. Music doesn't get played anymore?
I was listening to it this summer.
Oh. Well, then this person doesn't know what they're talking about. They said that it was because Morgan was asking what's going to happen with Dinoland kind of changing. Mm-hmm. And that was what I just found, that during Donald's bash that they changed it out.
Well, I guess when
they brought it back.
Maybe for a little while.
Well, no. When you go back.
Change the restaurant, but that's about it.
When you go back in the summer, Ed, you're going to have to double check.
Okay, guys. So I tell you what, like I said, that's about it for Animal Kingdom music. Before we finish up for tonight, though, Morgan, tell us what's going on over at the blog.
Well, we do have some great pieces of news. Unfortunately, they are not Animal Kingdom news. So we are going to have to travel to a galaxy far, far away in Hollywood Studios. One big announcement. Well, I say it's big because I just think it's cool. Starting April 5th, Star Tours is getting some new destinations. We are going to see the planets and characters from Andor, The Mandalorian, and Ahsoka, the Disney Plus series shows.
I'm super excited. It's also coming to Disneyland, and I'm going to be there when that's still playing. So I might be riding this ride a couple of times just so I can see all of them. Yep.
Excellent. Good luck with that.
It's also in Paris. So it's not just the, two parks here. Paris is also getting it. I'm excited to hear how many destinations you get when you get to ride in Disneyland.
Are they doing it like when they premiered some new ones, it was like three or four, and that was all they were playing? Was those three or four for a period of time, and then they put them in the loop with all the other ones? Did they say, are they doing that same thing, or are they just getting randomly at it?
They didn't say. They did say there'll be new people introducing or looking for the spy.
Yeah.
However, so there'll be new main characters that'll be talking at that. So I guarantee we'll be seeing Poe probably.
Because it says characters and locations. So it's not just locations.
Right. And I hope to see. Well, actually, I take that back. Not Poe, because we're talking the Mandalorian. We're talking Ahsoka, and we're talking Andor. So.
If you go to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, they actually do have screenshots, and the Star Tours logo is at the corner. I don't know if these are like the actual images of what they're going to look like when they're the spy, but Mandalorian is with Grogu, and of course you got Ahsoka by herself, and I'm drawing a blank on the Andor character.
Andor?
Oh.
Isn't that you?
Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking he had a different name. But yeah, they haven't said.
He does. That's the part of the story. Yeah, you'll see.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I've been in the books. But one thing I thought was interesting They say there's more than 250 storyline variations once this happens.
Because they're just adding them to what they have.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking so forward to this. Although you still run the risk of seeing the same old ones. So I hope what Melissa said is true and they run these like kind of a little bit more heavy for the next year. That would be great.
Yeah. Besides that, I mean, that's the big news this week. Besides that, there has been some news for the cruise lines. Jordan Sparks is going to sing a new anthem for Disney Cruise Line, which will be kind of cute. The characters at Castaway Cay are getting a new look, which you can see the pictures of those at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com.
Still looks like they're overdressing.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Just saying, it's a beach. Come on, it's okay, a beach.
But do you really want to have Mickey and Minnie and all them ready to go, you know, run into the ocean?
What do they do usually with Disney characters? They put them in 1920s fishing, swimming gear. So, you know.
I mean, Donald walks around with no pants on. So, how much less clothes can he have?
That's true. And he still has no pants on. So, now, I mean, I do have to say these are a little bit more... they're a little less 1920s. I mean, they're all still in full costumes. Minnie, of course, still has a dress.
Yeah, they're cruise colors.
But I mean, yeah. One piece of news was actually from last week, but I just thought it was really cool. We know with the Disney Treasure coming, there's going to be a Haunted Mansion parlor.
So that's a new cruise ship, the Treasure, yep. Right? Okay.
So, in honor of Rolly Crump, which we know he had a lot to do with the Haunted Mansion. He was going to do the Museum of the Weird when they were still trying to figure it out. if you don't know the story, definitely go look at Behind the Attractions on Disney Plus. Rolly Crump's getting his own sculpture, his own little head, should we say, in the Haunted Mansion parlor. It's going to say Brother Roland. And I think that's really cool because, I mean... Without him and Extensio, there'd be no Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, they figured it out because, like you said, he was trying to have this Museum of the Weird, which is why his bust is going to be kind of partially melted, yes, on one side, almost like wax melting down. So don't forget, that's what it's supposed to be when you go and see it on the Treasure. But it's super cool. I'm excited to see that. We'll be on the Treasure next year.
There was, if you ever see, and the only reason why I know this is I looked at one of the Haunted Mansion comics that came out. I had like the book that had all of them in it. And there were some photos about the Museum of the Weird in there. And there was like this candle wax man. So I'm thinking like that's kind of where they got the melting from, was this candle wax man that was going to be in the Museum of the Weird. So
that's in the Behind the Attraction.
Or
it's either in that or it's in Kevin Rafferty's book.
Yeah.
Somebody talks about some of the artifacts that were supposed to go in there and like, you know, having this thing and that like, it got too melted or something.
Yeah.
So there is a reason why, and I need to go back and watch that attraction. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I remember seeing the photos in the comics, and I know that they have interviews from Rolly when Walt was going in and talking about the Museum of the Weird, and they're showing different things. And there are photos on the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. But yeah, I read that. I got really excited. It was like I was happy for Rolly Crump. And now I really want to go on the Treasure to see that.
It only cost you, but it's a fun time.
Well, I mean,
I want to find out everything about it once Melissa gets on there. So looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Melissa, are you going on the Treasure or was it a different cruise ship that you're going on?
I'm going on the Treasure.
Oh,
yeah.
So I expect like lots of photos from the Haunted Mansion parlor so I can live vicariously through you.
Of course, we'll be taking lots of photos of staterooms and everything. We're on one of the first couple of cruises that happen.
Nice.
That'll be really very exciting.
Cool. Okay, Morgan, thanks for that update about the blog. Go check out the Disney Nerds Podcast blog. We have updates all the time. There's plenty of news out there. Our podcast is posted out there. We have links to the radio station and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. Okay, guys. So what did we miss? What kind of music in Animal Kingdom did we forget about? Let us know. Send us an email so we can read it on our next show. Ed, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Send us an email at any of the hosts' names. So it's ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Jimmy, Sam, Jen, Charlotte, Lisa, anybody you'd like to write to. Or if you have a general question for all of us, send it to questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. We have the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. We also have the Disney Nerds group. So definitely send us an email. Let us know what you think of the show.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 520 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. For Morgan, for Melissa, this is Ed. And we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Kongaloosh. Okay, we're done.
I had to say Hakuna Matata differently since we started with it.
No.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your